Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 5 in the National Football League season begins tonight with 49ers at Rams, a game you can hear right here on 105.7 The Fan. So it makes it a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And Baldy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. I'll start simple. Are the Ravens broken?
No, I mean, you know, it's first week in October. They're not broken. I mean, they're not playing well, and they have a lot of injuries. But, you know, you're never broken on, you know, October 2nd. So there's a lot of football to be played. There's plenty of time to kind of get this thing turned around. You know, obviously getting healthy is going to be a big part of it. But, you know, you got to find ways to win football games and just eke out a win any way you can. I mean, you know, you got to lean on your special teams to start making some plays. You know, you got to, you know, get a couple takeaways and, you know, you got to dial up your pressure. I mean, you've lost your two best pass rushers for most of the season. And so, you know, and one's out for the year. So you got to generate the pass rush. And, you know, whether it's Kyle Hamilton right now or pressures or overloads or whatever. So, you know, Zach Moore's got to do his job on his side right now.
Baldy, we were all very surprised Monday when John Harbaugh publicly called out Todd Monken several times during his press conference, not really understanding the play calling in some situations, especially third and fourth down and short, no Derrick Henry. What did you think of Todd Monken's approach in attacking the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously Derrick Henry has, outside of that first game, has not had a good season so far, but, you know, you look up at the end of the game. I know they're playing from behind, but you know, for Derrick Henry to get 8 touches, he's not going to change the game. You got to get that guy as many reps as you possibly can. It allows you to wear him down, wear the defense down, and give him as many opportunities. And so, you know, I don't have any problem with John looking at his assistants and saying like, you're in charge of the offense. We got to do a better job of trying, you know, to sustain offense and keep that ball away from the firepower that Kansas City suddenly has.
If they lose this game, Baldy, how dire do you think it could get?
It could get bad, Jason. Yeah. Like 1-4 is a deep crypt.
Yeah,
it's bad. I mean, it's hard to come out of, you know, to 1-4. Now, Houston's not a great team either.
No,
but they're trying to avoid the same thing that Baltimore is. But it's hard. I was on a 1-5 team, and we came out of it, Jason. We finished 9-7 one year. But, you know, it took everything we had, and we came up short. So you're going to get Lamar back. You're going to get Roquan back. You're going to get some of these guys back. But you can't keep losing games and think that you can, you know, make up that ground later on. You got to find ways to scrap these wins out when you can get one. It's not a good division. It's not a good division. So there's division wins out there, you know, for them to still have. But, you know, 1-4 – gets, you know, incredibly difficult. And it's hard, you know, 1-4 to keep the, you know, keep the attitude up. Mm-hmm. And John could do all the motivating he wants, but I don't care who you are. 1-4, it starts slipping away and guys start, you know, they start skipping, you know, treatments and not putting the same amount of time into the film. And you know, that kind of stuff starts to happen to teams.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Baldy, let's stay in the division. Are you surprised the Browns chose to switch quarterbacks this week as they're in London and they're going against an angry Vikings defense led by a well-respected defensive coordinator in Brian Flores?
Yeah, I am. Because honestly, I mean, you can say Flacco hasn't played well. Well, it would be help if, you know, the guys caught the ball. You know, I mean, you saw it, you know, in the game against Baltimore a few weeks ago. Like, guys got it in the week before against Cincinnati. I mean, if they could catch, they would have beaten Cincinnati. So, I mean, I'm not putting it all on Joe. And their tackle play stinks. They just traded for Cam Robinson. You know, I mean, they can't find two tackles that can stay healthy that can play. And so, I mean, Dylan Gabriel is going to deal with a lot of the same stuff. But if you want to make the youth movement, okay. But this would not be the weekend I would do that, because the Vikings defense played terrible last week.
Yes.
And I'm sure Brian Flores hasn't slept at all. And, you know, they ran the ball right down their throats a week ago. So that's a difficult defense for any quarterback to have success. Aaron Rodgers, you know, handed off to, you know, Kenneth Gainwell last week, and they ran the ball really good for the first time all year. But that's going to be a challenge for Dylan Gabriel this week.
Baldy, I think Monday Night Football is a really interesting game. The Jags hosting the Chiefs, Jacksonville quietly a 3-1 team, and the Chiefs back to .500 after beating the Ravens. What have you thought of Jacksonville through the first month of the season, and do you think they could pull off a win on Monday night?
They can. I mean, I texted Tony Boselli Monday after I watched his game last week. They had four takeaways, and they lead the league with 13 takeaways. I said, the easiest way to change anybody's culture is to get 13 takeaways in a month. Like, you're just going to get that many extra at-bats. And, you know, honestly, they should have beaten Cincinnati if they could catch. They dropped so many passes in that game. They could be 4-0. But, you know, the Chiefs, you know, you saw it last week. I mean, they got Xavier Worthy back. They look like a brand-new team. And it was bombs away. And, you know, there was one deep shot after another. And, you know, the left tackle all of a sudden doesn't look like a rookie, or he looks like a good player right now. And they look different to me. And so this should be a great – this could be a playoff preview, honestly. Because I think Jacksonville is going to be a good team. They're getting pressure with Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker. Eric Armstead's healthy. Jordan Lewis has been a missing ingredient at the slot corner for them. So I believe in Jacksonville. I think this Bayshon Tutin, the rookie out of Virginia Tech, like, he's giving him some pop, and Travis Etienne looks like he did as a rookie. So – I feel like Jacksonville is turning the corner, but ultimately, you know, this is a good test for them to beat a team like the Chiefs. I think that would be the boost of confidence that Liam Cohen would love to have.
Well, and he's getting all the attention, Baldy, but I just filed a column at the Washington Post. Like, I started asking people about the Jags, because I'll be honest, it's the same players as last year, so I figured the defense would suck. And I, this 43-year-old D coordinator from New Jersey, everybody I talk to in my inner circle who's watched them are like, that's Ben Johnson 5 games into his career on the other side of the ball.
Okay. That's not a bad comp there, Jason, but I agree. I agree. It is large. I mean, it's the same defensive front. It's the same linebackers, Jordan Lewis, you know. But, you know, I mean, honestly, they changed the safeties out, but it's the way that they're playing. Last year, at this time, all I saw was one breakdown after another. Yeah. Like, guys just running free. You know, so the communication is much better. Assignment football is much better. And they're taking the ball away at record numbers. Now, are they practicing, you know, the peanut punch? Are they, you know, because, you know, Devin Lloyd has got 4 interceptions in his whole career. He's got 3 so far, you know, this year. Like, he looks different to me. And it was always a question whether he was really a starter or not.
Yeah.
Aluokwan's always been super smart and talented, but they're just playing together so much better than at any point over any of the recent regimes there in Jacksonville.
Baldy, this Broncos-Eagles game looks interesting, and I also wonder, are you concerned at all about this A.J. Brown situation? He did speak, I guess, yesterday and said all is good, but putting out messages on social media after games because he's not getting the ball enough?
Well, it's a little bit misleading about AJ, and I'm not here to, you know, try to figure this stuff all out, but I've talked to him. Honestly, he just has a different mentality, receiver. It's not a diva mentality. Like, his mentality is he wants to be Myles Garrett. You know, he just wants to drill quarterbacks and put them into a graveyard the way Myles does. He wants to do that to cornerbacks. He literally wants to just physically break your will, like he did the week before against the Rams, and he took Emmanuel Forbes and he abused him after the catch, before the catch. And if he doesn't get that opportunity, he did get 9 targets last week, but they weren't really legit targets. 3 of the balls went out of bounds on go routes. He didn't really have a chance. That's what upsets him. Even when they win Super Bowls and he's not a part of the game, like he doesn't feel like he did his job to defeat the will of the defense. And that's his big thing. And so, like, Jalen is going to throw to the open guy, and Jalen is not going to turn the ball over. And he's, if you have the lead 24-3 like they did against Tampa, he's not putting the ball in harm's way. So when they were down 26-7, the Rams in the third quarter, A.J. Brown got all the great targets he wanted. But that's how the quarterback thinks. All he cares about is winning these games. And the biggest stat in winning these games is not turning it over. And so I think it's a real issue in Philadelphia between the receivers and the passing game and winning and losing. It's real. But at the same time, Jalen Hurts isn't going to change his approach.
Baldy, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We'll chat next week.
You got it, guys. Enjoy.
Thanks,
it,
buddy.
Man.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And coming up next, a little northern exposure. And we get back to the Cleveland situation. Does it make sense to us that the Browns are making a quarterback change this week? We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski on Dylan Gabriel next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the second he's been here, he's been working very hard, very intelligent young man. He's done a nice job throughout practice. And, you know, he's been this whole season, he's been learning how to get yourself ready and understand the rhythm of an NFL week and what that looks like as a backup. And obviously now feel like he's ready to go in as a starter.
That's Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski on Dylan Gabriel. Before we start chatting about that, 410-583-1057, you want to win two tickets to the MGK. And Wiz Khalifa, that's coming up June 3rd at Jiffy Lube Live. That's 410-583-1057, two tickets to the MGK and Wiz Khalifa. So we just asked Baldy this question.
Yeah.
Jason, what do you think about the decision to go to Dylan Gabriel here?
I think it's simply that they just couldn't stomach Flacco anymore. I think it's just as simple as that. This is not ideal. This is not smart. Stefanski has his faults, but he understands offense, and he's won a fair amount of games there and at times under duress. And I think it's just literally that they just need to see something else from the quarterback position, some agility, some mobility, the ability to move the target point around, and you don't know where the ball's being launched from, a little bit more improvisation or improbability. They had become a very stagnant, very predictable offense, and it was suffocating a defense that has been as good as any in the league in a lot of key ways. So I think it's just about, and look, don't kid yourself for a minute. The Bobo owner is always meddling. So I think it also, reading the room, I think the owner didn't want to see Flacco, didn't want to fly all the way, right, 6 hours, 7 hours from Cleveland, over there to the UK and sit in a huge soccer stadium and watch Flacco throw a couple of picks and struggle to score 10 points. Like, if that's what it's going to look like, then at least let me see somebody else figuring out how to play quarterback than somebody who just can't do it anymore because they're past their sell date. I think it's that. I don't think it's because, oh, Dylan Gabriel's been so impressive with the scout. Nah, get the hell out of here. This is just pure desperation.
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, they would have waited until the bye week and not doing this overseas, and especially against that Flores defense. But you're right, Jason. Joe's just been that terrible. He sucks. He's completed 58.1% of his passes. He has an NFL high 8 turnovers, 6 interceptions, 2 fumbles, 5.1 yards per attempt. That's abysmal numbers from the quarterback position. Now, that being said, with Dylan Gabriel, it's not a good team. So, and he's a rookie, and this isn't a premium pick. This isn't a first-round pick at quarterback either, so it's not a finished product. He has played a lot of games at the collegiate level, of course. It seemed like he was there for a decade, but it's going to be tough sledding for the rookie.
All three quarterbacks were always going to get a chance to play on this team, and they're going to.
So what did you think of the fact that Flacco's the backup and Shador's the number three? And Shador getting, he's the only team in the league where the third-string guy gets interviewed, but he was asked about it.
Well, that's a failure of football operations and failure of PR. There's no reason why it's so easy to hide players.
Uh-huh.
It's so easy to just, manage situations. That's a failure on them. And I honestly was listening to Bruce Arians and, because I've been asked about this on other radio stations, and I'm like, this has nothing to do with Shador Sanders. Like, they are a bunch of jackasses in their PR department for letting it happen. They're so easy to avoid this.
I don't know if it has nothing to do with him. How does that benefit?
His point is you could prevent it from happening at all.
How long has he been in the league?
I get 2 seconds.
There you go.
I'm with you 100% on that, but to completely absolve
him. I don't care about what he did. I don't have a problem with what he did. It would have been better if he's like Rex Ryan's a fat slob who hasn't coached in the league for 10 years. And you know what I mean?
That would have been a way.
That would have been something.
He's not fat anymore. He's on Ozempic and he's lost a bunch of weight.
Whatever. I don't know, man. The kid was lighthearted about it, but there's no, that interaction is so easy to prevent. And I don't even have a problem with what he did. If you're going to find me and you're going to ask me, then I'm going to present my sort of personality. And I mean, he didn't rip anybody. I don't know. What this kid is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
Yes, I agree. But what I'm saying is it came off as immature, and that's what knocked him during the draft process. That's all I'm saying. Could it have been easily avoided and they don't make him available? Yes. But in what world does Shador Sanders, by doing that, exhibit himself as a positive? How is that a positive for him?
I don't know. I don't think it's a big negative. I mean, I really don't. You're going to have a hard time getting me upset about this. I'm upset at them.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem.
Here's the crazy thing. If the Browns had a quarterback, they killed the draft this year. Mason Graham looks like a stud early on. Carson Schlessinger looks like an absolute... And Bobby D. loved this kid coming out of UCLA. Quinshon Judkins looks great. Harold Fannin looks great.
Yeah.
Gabriel's going to start on, and he'll be a backup probably in the league one day. Dylan Sampson, the other running back, looks good. They killed this draft.
Yeah, except their number one need is quarterback.
And they don't have one.
And then they waited till the third round to take one who's my size.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Hey, and I like Dylan Gabriel more than most. He played at Oregon last year.
Sanders should be the three because he's gotten no reps.
Yeah.
And this week is compromised by the most ridiculous travel you'll do in an NFL season.
It is an odd week to do it. And again, I think it does bear repeating. And Baldy brought it up. Brian Flores is probably livid with the way his defense played a week ago. And
he's also missing a lot of starters, the Ravens.
Injuries getting around.
They've had quite a few there. Corners, linebackers, they've had quite a few.
Browns take on the Vikings in London on Sunday. Coming up next, though, time for a little bounce back, fall back. Bone, happy birthday, Bone.
It's a birthday edition
of Bounce Back, Fall Back next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go back to earlier this week. The Yankees and Red Sox series still going on, so we'll ask you that question again in a minute. But Yankees and Red Sox game one goes over these seven runs. It did not. Four runs were scored. Jason, you bounced back. Ken, you fell back. Garrett Crochet gets over 7.5 strikeouts. He did easily. Got 11. Yeah. Both of you guys bounce back there. Dodgers win game one on the run line. They did. They won 10-5. Ken, you bounced back. Jason, you fell back. You said the Reds win outright. Shohei Ohtani has multiple hits. He did. He
had two home runs.
Two homers.
And Jason, you bounced back. Ken, you fell back.
It's my MVP.
Three of the four wild card series will go to three games. Three on the nose. And both of you guys fell back. Ken won narrowly, 3-2.
A win's a win, Bone.
Yeah.
So let's get to the Yankees, Red Sox.
Don't couch my win, Bone.
I can't couch anything. I just said
a little bit. A little bit of a couch.
Won narrowly. It's a fact.
It's a win.
It is a win. You
can't take the trophy away.
No, you can't.
The Ravens would sell their soul, which left of it, for a narrow win right now.
Well, the Yankees would take a narrow win tonight.
Yes, they would.
Survive in advance tonight, Ken.
I'm a big Cam Schlittler fan, so I'm going with the Schlittler. I'm gonna go Yankees. I think I picked the Yankees to win this series when it started. So
you did, but I'm given the opportunity to flip flop if you want, Jason.
It's a bullpen game, and one of these teams has the best bullpen in the American League, and the other one has the worst. So, or certainly the worst of any playoff team. So I'm going to say Boston. They're not intimidated playing in that ballpark. Could have easily won last night. Yeah, we'll see about Cam. I feel like there's more pressure on Cam than on Connolly Ealy or whatever the hell his name is.
By the way, the youngest Red Sox starter in a playoff game since Babe Ruth in 1916.
Heard of that guy. Thursday Night Football. You'll hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Rams, Niners. Niners very beat up. Rams are 8.5-point favorites. Jason, they cover that number.
I've played this game a bunch of different ways, but I have not messed with that number because at Wannabet, we F corporate lines. We make our own lines.
There you go.
And that's a silly line. I wouldn't mess with that corporate line. I would take it down to 2.5. Stafford to complete 20 passes. Rams to score 28 points, I'd get you plus 145. Wouldn't you rather do that than mess around with a minus 8.5?
That's not the question.
It's not the question.
It is. Book of Bone.
With the Book of Bone.
By the way, when are these going on sale?
They're not.
Oh, they're not?
Exclusive for now. There's only 12 in existence.
Man. Oh, when you guys take over the world, you need a store.
Yeah.
Well, I'll buy in bulk.
Yeah.
When stuff starts coming in, Bone, then more will go out.
Yeah, come on, Odyssey.
You know what? If you're making me pick this, I'm going to say 32-17 Rams.
You know, that is a bounce back.
I will admit, I had the Rams as my survivor pick, and I chickened out and changed it to the Lions just because it's a divisional game. I do expect the Rams to win this football game. I'll say they win by a touchdown, so fall back.
As a fallback for those at home. Cooper Rush. We're going to do a low bar here. Cooper Rush will have at least one touchdown pass on Sunday.
I'm going to bounce back on that, Bone. I'm not going to say confident. It's pretty, but I say he gets one touchdown pass.
I mean, think of how much heat Monk's under right now for letting should-have-been three-time MVP Lamar Jackson throw the ball, in the estimation of some, too much.
Yeah.
Not enough Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
They get in the red zone. You don't think it's going to be Derrick Henry sledgehammer four chances to get 10 yards?
I think there's a play action.
Four chances to get 5 yards or whatever's left over. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of touchdowns to be had in the first place offensively against this defense. So I am going to say Cooper Rush does not throw a passing touchdown.
Say fallback. Jason, you alluded to the fact that maybe it's going to be a big Mark Andrews day on Sunday in the passing game.
Maybe.
A non-wide receiver leads the team in receiving yards for the Ravens. Jason.
Oh, I like Justice Hill right off the giddy up.
Justice Hill. All right, Ken.
I got a weird one for you, Bone.
Give it to me.
Keaton Mitchell.
Oh.
Splash play, like a screen or a swing pass, takes it for like 60 yards. He leads the team in receiving.
Derrick Henry gets 25 carries on Sunday. He had 25 or more carries in three games last year.
One against Houston.
Season high against Houston with 27. And Lamar, of course, played in all of those games.
Yeah.
So, Ken, he gets 25 carries or more.
I don't know how much joy he's going to get, but I will bounce back and say he'll get 25 carries.
19 and a half. There's finally some numbers out there. I just need him to get 20, Bone, but I think I like 25.
So he bounced back there.
I'm going to say 27. I'll say he ties his career highs at Raven.
27. The Ravens do not lose the turnover battle for a change. It could be a push.
A push.
Push is a win in this game.
Yes, they do not lose the turnover battle. Jason.
Cooper Rush is going to have a pick, and Derrick Henry is going to have a fumble.
Oh, don't say that.
And C.J. Stroud is going to have a fumble. You do the math.
That's a loss.
Losing. Yeah. That is losing. Yeah, that's a lead. Fallback. Ken?
I do agree that Cooper Rush will throw a pick. You know what, Bone? I'm going to say it's a push, so bounce back.
Bounce back. Book of the Bone did have these numbers. Ravens hold C.J. Stroud to under 215.5 passing yards. Ken?
Under 215. I don't... I'll fall back, Bum.
I think they're going to run the ball old school up and down the field.
So fall back?
I don't think he throws for... I'll say he throws for 187.
So I'm bouncing because I think he'll throw for more than 215. So just to fix the confusion.
Ravens hold Nico Collins under 71.5 receiving yards. Jason.
Yeah, he's been in the 50s quite a lot since Tank Dell got hurt. Yeah, I think he's going to be running a whole lot of routes to nowhere.
He did have a monster game 2 weeks ago with like 8-for-1 something. I just don't know who covers him in the secondary. I think
that's a fallback. So he goes over, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to go over.
And you're saying he goes under?
I'm going to say he has like 55.
55. And lastly... This game goes over the 40.5 point total. Overs are 4-0 with the Ravens this year, but obviously Lamar played all of those. Ken?
Yeah, I don't see that. It would take to me multiple special teams or turnover TDs, so I'm going to fall back on that.
19-16, Bone.
As a fallback.
It's not just the year Babe Ruth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Was the youngest starter
in Red Sox playoff history. Yeah, World Series. Bone, did that one feel different? That was your first ever birthday bounce back fallback.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
No.
Felt the same. Yeah. Felt the same.
You did.
Bone's kinda a pro. I mean,
he is. He's a pro.
A day is a day.
As Mark Andrews said about Cooper Rush, Bone is a pro's pro.
He said that about me before.
Yeah.
Too, Andrews.
Yeah,
Pretty much the same quote.
Yeah, he did. He did. He likes to cut and paste with his quotes. Yeah. You did,
cut
though.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, you did, though, try to belittle my win last week, though, which I think was a birthday. Like, that was your saying it with your chest on your birthday.
I just said a narrow win. Jason thinks I'm too hard on him in this game.
Well, alas. Hey, Beltway Ben, you want me to give away these other tickets? Is that cool? And to let me know. I can wait. You tell me. Okay. 410-583-1057. You can win two tickets to see My Chemical Romance. Now, I have no other information on this. I just know they're playing at some point, and you'll get two tickets to this. 410-583. And that's
pretty
not
sure.
By the way, that's not.
Isn't it at the Nats? It's at the Nats Stadium.
Yeah. And again, it's at Nats Park?
The Nats Stadium.
Okay. Because I looked up the email. There was no info in the email. So that was not a Beltway Benz like.
That was
a.
That was a.
That was a. Email slide.
Well, we play the commercial.
I wanted to make that clear. So
I would go. You want to give me freebies, I'll go. I mean, well, I'll probably go.
I would go.
410-583-1057. If nobody calls, Jason's going to take the tickets to see My Chemical Romance at Nats Park. But coming up next, it's T-Bone time, TMI with TAM. What you got?
I'm going to do best bets early this week because I am off tomorrow. So we'll look back at how bad my picks were last week and hope to improve upon that.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Doing best bets a day early, and it was a horrific week for your boy last week. I was 0-3.
Ooh.
It was ugly. I had the Bucks plus 3.5 against the Eagles.
I had that.
They lost 31-25. I had the Colts plus 3.5 against the Rams if the one guy didn't drop the ball heading into the end zone.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I have the Commanders minus 1.5 at the Falcons. So now I was 500, now I'm 3-6 on the year. Ken, you went 1-2.
Nice.
You had the Lions minus 9.5. They covered that easily over the Browns, 34-10. You also had the Bucks and the Vikings minus 2.5.
Yeah, that worked
Steelers.
Out.
You are also 3-6. Jason, you went 2-1. You had the under in the Texans-Titans game. That hit easy. You had the under in the Browns-Lions game. That half point saved you. It was 44.5, and 34-10 was the final.
Did he have the 49ers parlay?
Yeah, I did. That did not hit.
It didn't hit because he had the 49ers money line.
Yeah.
He also had 40 receiving yards by CMC that hit easily because he had 92, but did not hit that. 2-1, so 4-5 overall. And Beltway Ben Hall just chugging along. 2-1, 5-4 overall. You also had the Vikings minus 2.5. That was the one miss. You had the Falcons on the money line. They won. Omarion Hampton over on his rushing at 63.5. And he literally doubled that total at 128. So Beltway Ben Hall, give yourself a nice pat on the back there. So let's get back in the lab. I'm going, it's a big number, it's on the road, but what I've seen from the Bengals these past couple of weeks have been absolutely, Monday night was a joke at Denver, just back-to-back non-competitive games. I got the Lions 10.5 point spread at Cincinnati. As we said earlier, it blew out the Browns, and I don't like anything about Cincinnati right now, and the Lions, they've been rolling these past couple of weeks. I like the Chargers minus 2.5 against the Commanders, and I know Jaden Daniels is coming back. It sounds like Terry McLaurin might not play in that one. Chargers offensive line has been banged up, but this Commanders defense, especially in their road games, they've given up a lot of points, gave up 34 points to the Falcons, 27 at Green Bay a couple weeks prior. And they're really susceptible to explosive plays. And I think Herbert and company will be able to get those plays on the Commanders. So Lions minus 10.5, Chargers minus 2.5. And this is the Tim Murray special, the hold your nose and bet it. This might be the rat line of the year. And I'm going to lean into it because why not? The Saints should not be favored against anybody. They are favored against the Giants, minus 1.5. And the Giants are coming off their first win of the season last week against the Chargers. And yeah, you got Jackson Dart, but their offense averaged 3.6 yards per play in that football game. Their defense was really setting them up with those short fields because of the turnovers. I can't tell you I love this play, but I'm just going into the Saints should not be favored against anybody, and I'm going to lean into the stink there and go with the Saints picking up their first win, minus 1.5.
I am simpatico with you on the Chargers, Bone. They got embarrassed by the Giants last week. I think they beat the Commanders. Chargers minus 2.5. I'm going back to the Vikings well. Vikings minus 3.5, taking on Dylan Gabriel and the Browns. And the Buccaneers are banged up. I'm going to take the Seahawks minus 3.5 against the Buccaneers.
We're going to go under on the Monday night game, which is at 47. We are going to go over in the Miami-Carolina game. We're going to go over 45.5. And we're going to go over in the Dallas Jets game, over 47.5.
Ooh.
Dallas
and the Jets.
Jets. Ben?
Here we are. Now, this is the winner.
I got two sides and a player prop. We'll start with the player prop. You take tight ends against the Bengals, and you do it as much as you can. Sam Laporta, over 38.5 receiving yards. Denver Broncos, plus 4.5 in Philly. And the New England Patriots, plus 8.5 Sunday Night Football. Mike Vrabel's team stick around. They stay in games. I think Joe Brady sits on his hands a little bit too much.
What was that number for the Patriots?
8.5
8.5 Got it. 8.5 All right.
By the way, Ben, the only one currently
above 500.
Above 500.
Yeah.
Beltway Ben. Tell the people where they can find you, Beltway Ben. To give yourself a free plug.
Oh, thank you there. At BH Journalist on Twitter, and then everything we do at WannaBet with us on Twitter. You can find it anywhere.
Taking over the world.
Jason's rocking
YouTube.com / at WannaBet with us.
Jason's rocking the sweatshirt and
Spotify.
It's a cool sweatshirt.
It looks great, too. And I'm happy you didn't have the logos all over the place.
Thank you. Yes.
We had to take them
make that
away
one
from
still.
It looks very
I like
sharp.
It. I love it. It's got like a sharp Thanksgiving vibe. I like it a lot.
It does have a Thanksgiving vibe.
Yeah. I dig it.
Yeah.
The more you could do.
I want one. Where can I purchase it?
$50.
Yeah, where can I purchase it?
From me.
Okay. And maybe I'll Venmo you some money.
The show store is not open yet, but eventually.
We'll see.
It's making its way.
Could
be lobster bibs.
There's a lot of
stuff.
Things.
Lobsters with the WannaBet logo on it.
I do love that. First step is shirt. Second step is lobster bibs.
Yeah. If you watch the show, you'd understand.
That's a good. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm right.
And you'd make some money.
Yeah.
I'm right.
You'd have no problem with the $50 for the for the hoodie.
I get it from Stats on Fire.
He's sharp.
He's got nothing to do with WannaBet.
Super Discord.
Yes.
There you go.
Coming up next, man, Lucy Bird, she's the Dong Queen. She is a Patriots fan. She is a Red Sox fan. Big game for the Red Sox tonight. She's from DraftKings, and she joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.